Praise God. Amen. Every time I come, I see the church getting fuller and fuller. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord Jesus. See, I see new faces. How many of you have seen me from before? Oh, almost all of you. A few of them. Like when oh, she saw me. Yes. You know, like it's so good to see you all here. I love coming to my brother, my dear brother, Pastor Nuhum's church, and what God is doing amongst you, and like your jacket, the man. we both joke, we go a long way, we're like dinosaurs. We go way back, and when Nuhum saw me with hair on my head, right, Nuhum? He saw me with hair on my head, and I'm totally, completely the best hairstyle. We both have the best hairstyle. Anywhere I go, I always find kindred spirit, right? Praise God. So good to be here and go to come and share the word of God here. Let's pray before I go in. Father, we thank you and we bless you and praise you, Lord. Lord, we thank you for your faithfulness. What beautiful songs, Lord. Blessed assurance, Jesus is mine. Lord, there's no other assurance in this world, Lord, because the world is fleeting glory, but your presence is amazing. Your presence is always faithful, always wonderful, Lord. You, O Lord, are wonderful, Lord. And we have this blessed assurance, Lord Jesus. Yes, Lord, today, as I humbly share your word, Holy Spirit, Lord Jesus, may you hide me completely and may you become visible, Lord. Lord, because you are healing, renewing, reviving, and restoring your creation, Lord. I submit this morning to you. Thank you for this beautiful church, O Lord. Thank you for every member in this church. Thank you for giving me the opportunity. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen, amen, amen. Praise God. As Pastor Nuhum said, from last year, even I have see glasses I forgot this morning. Probably I might borrow yours. In between, no, you can give me, just in case I can't see. From I try my best. It's reading glasses, right? Yes. Sharing is caring. We've been sharing for a while now. You know, everything like it. So, one thing, welcome Sharon as well with me. Sharon, I love to travel in the mornings with Sharon because Sharon loves a morning breakfast. We went to X-Mart here. So she loves a morning breakfast. Like that's, if you ask a wife, what do you like? Some say diamond, some say gold. She says morning breakfast. I want to go. So we go as family sometimes Saturday mornings. Like this morning she said, oh, I'll wake up with you early morning. Because Brampton, how many of you know Brampton? The beautiful city. You guys, some of you are missing. You got to go there. You know, we drive from there and she said, I'm going to join you. I said, okay, let's go breakfast. And we had X-Mart, nice breakfast. I heard you guys go there all the time, you know. So, and then we came here. It's beautiful. As to this morning, I want to share about something amazing. This is a word that touch all of God's word is beautiful. All of God's word is amazing. All of God's word is fantastic, superbly. And there's no words to explain God's word, right? It is amazing. Then some verses really touched my heart as well is this 1 Corinthians chapter 1. When you look at this, this 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 18, we saw, you know, it says, the word of the cross is folly to those who are perishing, but to us who are being saved, it's the power of God. This really is so relevant because when you look at this this word, right, this word of God, for those who are perishing, it is foolishness. Like you talk to some people, they're like, you know, why all this? Why are you sharing this Jesus and this word and salvation? If we don't, it's because it's foolishness, it's folly. But those who have been saved, it is the power of God. Hallelujah. It's the power of God. I came across this humorous story. I'm preparing for a sermon. There's a story about a little girl who proudly wore a shiny cross on a chain around her neck. One day, she was approached by a man who said to her, little girl, this guy thought he was too smart, a big man and a little girl. Little girl, don't you know that the cross Jesus died on wasn't beautiful like the one you're wearing, Paul tried to correct her, right? Like, it was an ugly wooden thing, to which the girl replied, "Yes, I know, sir. But they told me in Sunday school that whatever Jesus touches, he changes." So she gave a good reply. She said, "Well, you're looking at this shiny cross thinking it's shiny and I'm trying to show off, but whatever Jesus touches, he changes. Everything that's ugly or not good, Jesus changes." Amen? He makes it beautiful. Hallelujah. It says here from 1 Corinthians chapter 1, 18 to 20, "For the message of the cross is foolishness to those who are perishing, but to us who are being saved, it is the power of God. For it is written, I will destroy the wisdom of the wise, the intelligence of the intelligent I will frustrate. Where is the wise man? Where is the scholar? Where is the philosopher of this age? Has not God made foolish the wisdom of this world?" When look at, the other day I was talking to, for Abundant Life Covenant Church, I do a church plant called Abundant Life. I'm a pastor there. Nuhum come many times to preach there. It's slowly growing, Nuhum, like more families are coming. It's growing. And I shared a bold vision with them, a bold vision. I said, we got to have our own church building. We only have a church of 30 people or something. And I think it shocked them, amazed them. Some of them might have gone terrified. What is this guy going to do with us now? Will he ask us to give our salaries or what? Right? But then I said, God is telling me God's going to give us our own building. We rent a place at 6 p.m. on Sunday evenings, which is not as much conducive because we can't do much there. They won't give us during the week or anything, just 2 hours on a Sunday. So we've been praying. And then I, as I approach people, you know, because I said, let's have a building committee, because let's pray and have a few people together so that we can start planning and praying for this, because God is giving a vision that is bigger than ourselves, right, where we can do so much more. And as I approach some people, they're like getting terrified. "Oh, Pastor, you know, I would love to, but should we think about this?" Or, you know, and I ask them, and they think that they're not smart enough, or they're not wise, they're not planning. They're like, this is bigger than I said. Then I tell about this sermon, I say, this word, I say, you know, God chooses ordinary things that are of nothing, right? And, you know, it chooses, you know, it says the foolishness, you know, of the world. And he raises them in a powerful way, which is beyond our imagination. God will do things that are beyond our wildest imagination. Amen? How many of you agree to me on that? I like a responsive church. Amen? Praise God. How many of you like you can stand up and shout or dance? You know, if anyone, you know, you can do all of that. You know, if Pastor permitted. He's a good singer too, right? You know, but I, you know, when you think about, I said, my brothers and sisters, I said, when you think about God's work, it always amazes me, because when you look at the world itself, the world operates on some principles which are according to the world. It's very analytical, very intellectual, very wise according to the world, very process driven, very planning, and all those things that are very important. Very important. I'm not saying not important. Important as well. But sometimes, you know, we say, okay, this is all very important, and we go by this, and we build this, we do this, this planning and everything. And then God chooses some ordinary person, some ordinary people, fishermen and tax collectors and all the people, call them the rubbish and the, you know, all the people. And then he builds his kingdom in ways that no one can imagine. Amen. He does amazing things, powerful things. And this always amazes me about the power of the Church of God, the power of God's calling, the power of Jesus, the power of the Holy Spirit. I'm amazed, because when I think about it, it just blows my mind away. It's bigger and powerful and amazing than we can imagine. I'm always amazed. Are you in awe and wonder when you think about God? I'm always in awe and wonder. I can't even imagine, or I can't even conceptualize the awesome majesty of God. And then it chooses us, ordinary people, simple people, to change the world. He says, you know, world changes, turn the world upside down. You know, one of the kings in the book of Acts says, you're turning the world upside down. One of, you know, when the apostle stands before you, said, "You guys are turning world upside down. What are you preaching? What are you telling? This thing is so something that is so amazing, or something that's mind-boggling, right? Because this is the word that changes the world. The cross, the powerful cross, the powerful message of the cross, and God does amazing things. And even until today, God is doing great things." How many of you agree that, you know, God is always doing something new in our lives? Agree that? Do you agree? Amen. God is always doing something new in our lives. Praise God. And changing our lives and changing a world that is broken and hurt and becoming crazier by the day. It's becoming somewhat so crazy and so mind-boggling. And now with the AI coming in, AI is great. You know, some things I see, it's mind-blowing, but I don't know what it can do more, right? But someone was telling, you know, it's going to be different and it's going to change everything. I said, well, but God is still in control. This whole world, creation, everything belongs to God. Everything belongs to the Holy Spirit. It changes everything. And then God chooses the ordinary people, the, you know, the simple people, gives them a message, gives them a wisdom, gives them a vision and a mission and a goal and a purpose to change the world, to make a world, you know, a lost and dying world, to heal, renew, revive, restore, and change. Because how many of you agree with me that, you know, with the fast-growing technology and the pace of this world and the advancement and everything, the luxury, the comfort, the wealth, the technology, with everything that's happening, you know, people are thinking in ways they're saying, we don't need God. We don't need anything, any holy, because they're saying, why do we need anybody? We can do, we are gods. They're saying we are gods. We can set our pace. We can do whatever we want to do. We can plan everything. We don't need anyone who is, they say, you know, we don't, someone was saying, oh, we don't need Sky Daddy. Right? This was, do you see when you talk to get this, all these intellectual, smart people, you know, who, according to the world standards, saying, oh, we don't need that. We don't need, they make fun of the, if you look at some of the talk show hosts, we look at some of the news, you know, people in the news or some people like that, they will say, oh, we don't need that. We don't need this. We don't need these Christians, these people preaching the gospel. You know, what are they doing? And, you know, they're against, you know, humanity, or they paint everything, you know, they paint the cross and the Jesus and the word of the cross and the message of the cross in a negative manner. But that is the healing. Now, they say, it says, a few years ago, the topic of the day on Oprah Winfrey show was having affairs with married men, right? This was a topic in Oprah Winfrey show. She had brought together several people who were having affairs to get their comments on how they felt about it. One lady responded very positively, saying that her affair with a married man had been a long-standing affair and she was very happy with it. Then someone raised the question of morality. Instantly, the woman took offense. Wait a minute, she said. I'm a Christian, and I want everyone to know that my personal life and my religion don't interfere with one another. Right? Then she went on to say, I believe in a God who wants me to be happy, and if this man makes me happy, then God approves of this relationship. Right? And there's been so many, let me tell you, you know, and the enemy gets in, this is an example I'm giving you how. Because the cross talks about healing and purity and salvation from sin and transformation and surrender and walking in commitment, walking in morality, walking in holiness, walking in consecration, walking in that place of sacrifice. But then the world is saying, you know what? It's foolishness. You guys are living a life, you know, talking about sacrifice and talking about holiness and morality and goodness and kindness and all these things and walking in that, you know, in that straight and narrow path. You're walking that path. It's all stupidity. But Paul says, it is the power of God unto us in this age and day, living faithfully to God, sharing the Lord, going and talking about Jesus, living a life that is acceptable to the Lord, living a life that is beautiful and holy and righteous is wonderful, even if the world agrees or not, because it's the message of the cross for us. It is the power of God. It's healing. Praise God. Amen. They said the Jews, you know, Paul clearly says here, I'll destroy the wisdom of the wise, the intelligence, where's the scholar, where's the philosopher of the sage, has not God made foolish? And then he goes on to say in verse 22 to 25, Jews demand miraculous signs and Greeks look for wisdom, but we preach Christ crucified. A stumbling block to the Jews and foolishness to Gentiles, but to those whom God has called both Jews and Greeks, Christ the power of God and the wisdom of God. For the foolishness of God is wiser than man's wisdom, and the weakness of God is stronger than man's strength. Amen? Praise God. Jews demand miraculous signs and Greeks look for wisdom, but we preach Christ crucified. We're not ashamed of the cross. It is the power, it says here, for those whom God has called, both Jews and Greeks, Christ the power of God and the wisdom of God. The power and the wisdom of God. Hallelujah. Christ is the power and the wisdom of God. For the foolishness of God is wiser than man's wisdom. All the wise people get together and say, you know what, we got to, you know, one person asked, there was this debate going on, AI, and one person said, what about faith? What about spirituality? What about people of faith? Like, how will they take this, because it's taking off in a different life of its own? You don't know where this will go. Will they accept it? And then this person said, oh, you know what? No one can stop this happening. This is the way it goes. Everybody has to surrender to. Everybody has to fall in line and walk with this technology or the AI and whatever is happening out there. And because what the world is saying is, you know, you have to fall in line with everything that is happening around you. And you got to somehow make adjustments and try to live according to this world in some way or the other. Right, somehow make adjustments. And no, but the Bible says, you know, it is the power of God and the wisdom of God is Christ. He gives, it says, the weakness of God is stronger than man's strength. God is in charge. God is doing a mighty, mighty work. The Jews, when look at the Jews, Paul declares, Jews stumble over the cross and the Greeks think it's foolishness. You know, when you look at the Jews, I want to share about three things. The Jews stumble over it because Jesus wasn't the kind of Messiah they wanted. That's strange, because the Jews had already carefully picked by God. He had watched over and protected them through the generations and prepared them to be a nation through whom Messiah would come. In John chapter 1, verse 11, the Bible says that Jesus came to his own and those who were his own did not receive him. John chapter 1, verse 11. Jesus came to his own, and those who were his own did not receive him. Jews are always looking for a miraculous sign. Do something. He was performing miracles, giving sight to the blind, straightening the legs of the lame, lepers are cleansed, ministering to them, reaching out to meet their needs. But those weren't the kind of miracles they wanted. They wanted signs of power and success. They wanted a Messiah who would overthrow the Romans and reestablish the kingdom of David. See, when you're looking at the message of the cross, we're always, people are like, you know, there should, you know, the Jews were saying, you know, there should have to be some power. Establish the kingdom of David. Build the throne. Build the temple. Build the throne. Make it powerful. You know, we want to lord over people, because that's what Jesus would, the Messiah would make us the lords over people. And what is this Jesus? He's talking about, you know, gentleness, talking about faithfulness, talking about kindness, talking about goodness, talking about, you know, on the Sermon on the Mount says, you know, the meek, the gentle, the mourners, the humble. Who is this guy? Why should we even follow him? And that's what the world says now. Some people, when they look outside, they say, oh, Jesus is for the losers, they say. You know, why are people following Jesus? Right? Because they say, you know what, he died on the cross, you know. And many people say, I don't know if he died on the cross or not. There's so many arguments going around and all of these things. And people are just, you know, the enemy has blinded their eyes. And the Jews as well, in those age and day, they've been looking for the sign. They were saying, we need power. And that is the, see, when we look at the life of Jesus, when we look at how God leads his people, he takes us to that place of humility and shaping in that humility, shaping in that brokenness, shaping in that place of surrender, shaping in that place of servanthood, shaping in that place of completely humbling and serving and serving and walking with God and waiting upon the Lord. The first, he said, the first shall be last and the last shall be first. He said, if the first shall be last and the last shall be first, he who wants to be a master should be the servant. The radical message of Jesus is just mind-blowing, powerful, right? And that's the reason it says, it's foolishness to those who are perishing, but the wisdom and the power of God to those who have been saved. And to us, as we hear the word of God, as you're walking in humility in the presence of God, as you're saying, Lord, if you're going through something in your life, if you're going through brokenness, if you have to wait some more time, if you have to walk in humility, if you have to walk in service, if you have to wait upon the Lord and things are not happening the way we want them to happen, we want certain things to happen a certain way, and we are simply holding on in that place, simply waiting upon the Lord. And the Lord says, in Isaiah 40:31, it says, those who wait upon the Lord will renew their strength. They will rise up with wings like eagles. They will not be faint. They will not be tired. They will soar and they will not faint. But those who hope in the Lord and wait upon the Lord. Hallelujah. Because waiting and hoping is foolishness to the world. No one wants to wait and hope. It's like we want to do it fast, fast, fast. Everything is now. We want it now. We want to make better, better, better. But let me tell you, without Jesus at the center and the foundation, no matter how fast you go, we trip and fall. When we are going with Jesus and walking and looking to God, it's a beautiful journey. It might be slower. It might be walking in that place of surrender, of sacrifice, of humility. Because the Jews were always looking for miraculous signs, because for them, we don't want to walk like you, Jesus. Oh, you're doing amazing miracles. We don't want to walk like you. We want something. Give us powerful. Give us fast. And make us the lords. Make us kings. We want to do something bigger. And we want to crush all the Romans. But Jesus is saying, this love changes everything. This power of love, the power of God's love, changes everything. It takes a different path. It's a radical path. It's an amazing path. It's beautiful. And that's what, even in my life, when you look at me and Sharon's, our marriage, our family, our ministry, our life, for 25 years, we had a Silver Jubilee in 2023, December, and Mohum was a preacher there. He preached at my Silver Jubilee, large celebration gathering, right? Me and Sharon, now it is 27 years of married life. It is, we've been through the hardest of times, the toughest of times. We have been through that place where, in ministry as well, it is not easy. Some of the ministry movements were the hardest. It's like, what did I sign up for? Nobody's laughing, what did I sign up for, right? Ministry, because the enemy is after us. Because ministry is what? Taking this amazing, life-changing gospel, the message of the cross to the people, and the enemy doesn't want to do that because it will change lives. So if you want to stop it, kick this fellow. He is now not only taking this gospel to people, he's training people to take the gospel. So first kick this fellow so that he will lie low, and then everything will be calmed down. But Lord gives us strength, because God reminds us, whatever you're doing, keep doing it, keep doing it. I'm changing lives. I'm changing situations, changing marriages, changing families. He's saying, the Holy Spirit, my presence, my love, my healing, my salvation changes everything. Amen? Amen. 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 Praise God. The Greeks looked for wisdom. They were intelligent. They had produced men like Socrates, Plato, Aristotle, Greek thinkers. They're very intelligent. Socrates once said, the secret to a successful society is education. If we can just give everybody a good education, it must follow that the world will get better and better. Yes, education is good. Education changes lives. 100% agree with it. Lives have changed in the worldly sense, in the material sense, in all the senses. Education is very good. And all of us got benefited by a good worldly education, right? But the world to really get better in the true and the real sense only needs Jesus. We can make our material world our comfort, a world with comforts and luxury, and our situation, circumstances in this material can change with education and will change and has changed everybody. Amen? It changed. Because, again, education comes from the wisdom of God. But at the very core, at the very foundation, it is the Word of God. It is the presence of the Holy Spirit and the Lord Jesus that changes everything. Amen? It changes everything. And that's the most beautiful thing. This is the most beautiful thing. I tell my children, I want you to get the best education. And I'm willing to sacrifice, do whatever. You know, I tell my son, I tell my daughter. My daughter is 25 and grown, mature, beautiful young woman. My daughter. My son is 18. You know how 18-year-olds are. You know, for them, everything you say will fly over or fly sideways. It never flies into. Right? I always pray, may your word fly into his heart, not above or it. And when he understands, like, oh, yeah, I know. I know everything in this world. Right? Right? Because, you know, the wisdom of his friends is more than my wisdom for him. My friends are very wise. But then, you know what? It is the wisdom of God. Even the foolishness of God is bigger than, better than a man's wisdom, right? So it is so powerful wisdom. I said to my children, listen, guys, all of this is good. But the first thing I want you to be in your life, and that is the secret to a beautiful life, is that your life is surrendered to the Lord. Your life is walking in the presence and the word and prayer of God. And you are proclaiming the gospel. You are really become a mouthpiece of the gospel testimony for Jesus. And your life is shining brightly. And the greatest joy for me, if you become prayer warriors. I want you to become prayer warriors. Everything in Matthew chapter 6, 33 says, seek first the kingdom of God and righteousness. Everything will be added unto you. That means seek first the cross of Christ. Seek first the presence of Christ, the message of Christ, and the anointing of the Holy Spirit. And everything will be added to you. Hallelujah. Everything. Praise God. The 17th chapter of Acts describes the scene where Paul came to Athens. Acts chapter 17, verse 21. You know, 17 talks about, the Athenian philosophers met on Mars Hill, the Areopagus, and they sat there all day thinking their profound thoughts. And Luke says that they spend their time doing nothing but talking about and listening to the latest ideas, just like the ancient day now, like a lot of ideas, amazing ideas, bringing more ideas on Mars Hill, the Areopagus. And they sat there all day, the group of philosophers, the thinkers, and they spend their time doing nothing but talking about, give me a new idea, right? Because they want wisdom. Apostle Paul came to Mars Hill and started telling them about a God who was unknown to them, meaning they put a little plaque or a little stone there saying, to the unknown God. I mean, they were like, they might be an unknown God. And Paul looked at that in the wisdom that God gave him. This is God's wisdom. If any other person would look at that, because God gave Paul the wisdom. If I would go and look at that, oh, there is a stone to the unknown God. I don't know who this unknown God is. But when Paul looked at it, because he was filled with the Holy Spirit said, teach to them this unknown God is me. See the wisdom of God, right? That is the vision. It's a very common sense, you know, because think about this. If you saw a stone like that, what if any people with, you know, without the Holy Spirit or the Word of God, like, oh, it's just a stone. But then because Paul was filled with the Holy Spirit and filled with the plan of God, filled with the walking with God continuously, God gave him such wisdom. Right away when he saw the stone, you know, Paul said, God said, speak to them about this stone. It is the unknown God that I am this unknown God that they have not known, and they will know now. And Paul immediately began talking to them. Amen? That is the wisdom that God gives to us. Many times we have to ask for such wisdom. It's a simple wisdom. You know, if anybody looks at the stone, if it was not Paul, would say, many thousands would have walked past that stone, right? Thousands or hundreds would have passed back and thought, as a stone, some unknown God, we don't know who the unknown God is. Because Paul was filled with God's wisdom. Right away, God said, okay, preach to them this unknown God is me. And Paul began preaching, and they were all amazed. And many of them would have been saved as well, because they would say, tell us more about this unknown God, because we want to know. And when we go out and we share the gospel, you know, to the people, we have to pray, Lord, give us wisdom, not worldly wisdom. By worldly wisdom, we always try to analyze and process, and we try to put, you know, things together, 2 and 2 is 4, you know, we try to do all those things. But when in God's wisdom, he gives us, I always say, uncommon wisdom, uncommon boldness, uncommon courage, which is not common. And then God gives wisdom, like Paul, God will use us to proclaim that this God's wisdom, who this God is. So when you go out to share the gospel, how many of you go to share the gospel anytime? Do you share the gospel to anyone? Please do some evangelism sometimes. In my church, what I did was, we are going the last Saturday of every month, we are going evangelism from the last few months now, because nice weather, and it's on my heart. So I always tell them, I said, guys, we'll pray together. It's not about who will come to church, because don't think that you go there, share the gospel, and someone will accept, and you pray, and you tell them about Jesus. We're not pulling them into the church to make them church members, to give us tithe or anything, right? This is not our concept, nor idea, or plan, or vision, or goal. We are going there to share the most amazing message that the world has ever known. This message that some people would not know. You won't even think. And in the last few months, we have been going, and I said, it is the heart of evangelism, the heart of sharing the gospel. It is the heart. It is not the outcome. It is not the result, because result is in the Lord's hand. Fruit is in the Lord's hand. He will do it. He will make it happen in his time. But we go faithfully. So a few of them have been coming, and they've been amazed. And one of them is a new convert who accepted Christ, and this girl is all fire. And she's been coming, and they're coming, young people, young adults. Young adults at our church is on fire. So the third Sunday of every month, I gave it to the young adults. I said, you lead the service. So they have been leading the planning and leading the whole service, and it's just blowing my mind away how they're doing it. Just incredible. They are taking turns to preach the word. Young adults are mature, and it's growing. The ministry, people are coming. So I said, go and preach the gospel and ask God to give you wisdom. I said, like God gave Paul the wisdom to talk about the unknown God, as soon as he saw that plague, when you meet people, God will give you wisdom to talk into their life. And we have been seeing some divine appointments in the last few months. Some people, there's some amazing encounters talking about Jesus. Some of them we prayed with. Some of them had tears in their eyes. Some of them told their stories about brokenness and crushedness, and how they said, I don't know why I'm telling you this, but this is my life. I'm so broken. And how I prayed with them, my members prayed. It's been a beautiful experience. We only go for an hour and a half. And many of them say, Pastor, can we do this whole day? Can we do this until the night? I felt like doing it until the night. Because life is amazing. Because this gospel, when the Holy Spirit leads us with this gospel, it changes everything. Because the message of the cross is foolishness to those who are perishing. It's a power to those who are being saved. So we go out and share the gospel. So in your own life, you know, sometimes you don't have to go anywhere in your spheres of influence, in your neighborhood or any place. Let your life be a testimony. Share the gospel. And many times we're afraid, what would people think? What would people think? How would I, what would they say about me? You have to ask God for wisdom and say, Lord, give me wisdom when I should speak. The Lord will give you the wisdom when you speak. The right time, the right place, and at that right time will give you wisdom. Like Paul spoke to these Athenians on the Mars Hill, and people were amazed, and many of them got saved, many of them accepted. They wanted to hear more about this, and many will say, oh, I want to hear more about this. And then you will bring people to Jesus. Amen? And I think that is the most beautiful thing. You know, Michael Bird, a minister in Australia, I'll be closing soon, tells about a well-known American preacher who gave some advice to an Australian congregation. He said, don't tell people about the cross, it doesn't work. That's why the Franklin Graham Crusades are no longer effective. Just tell them that God loves them and has a plan for them. The crux of his advice was that the message of the crucified Jew is ridiculous to the modern mind. So move on to something better. A crucified Messiah is stupid, he says, but promise them prosperity. Give them. This is what This is what this some people is talking about, some American preachers, some churches doing this. Give them prosperity, give them emotional experience, provide them with some self-esteem, and you just expand and grow. That's what's happening now, right? How many of you, I believe that God is a God of prosperity. I never would say God's child should live in poverty and wretchedness and live in torn clothes and broken shoes. I never say that, right? God always prospers his children. He said, seek first the kingdom of God. Everything will be added to you. But when we look at it now, what happens is, you know, I recently read about in one offering in the Amazon, user-friendly church. I'm like, what is a user-friendly church? Right? This is going 10 steps for in somewhere, right? You know, it's but that's what's happening now. You know, emotional experience, you know, so prosperity, emotional experience, give them some high, give some low, let them all do some things and do all this kind of gimmicks, everything happens. How many of you see all such places happening? I don't know, sometimes I can't even comment. All kinds of things are happening. One church I went, people were barking like dogs. I just attended this church, somehow someone took me and I'm like, man, oh man. It's like they said they're full of the Holy Spirit. I'm like, I don't know if Holy Spirit will make anyone bark like a dog, right? One church I went, one person got up and he began running around, like I'm pitching like this. And the guy got up, I was watching, he was running all around the church. Like, I'm like, I was so distracted. I said, I asked the guy who took me, I said, what's happening? He said, this guy's so filled with the Holy Spirit. Don't disturb him. He's just under the anointing. And he's, I'm like, okay, whatever, no. See, these kinds of things are happening. I'm not saying, I don't know. I can't, you know, sometimes I don't even want to judge or anything. But then when you look at this, you know, for some people, as they think, oh, this is foolishness. This is ridiculous. What's happening? And for some people, it's like, but the message of the cross is beautiful. It changes lives. It's not about an emotional experience. It's not about something that, you know, you could feel for some time and go home and then everything is going down. It's this constant courage, strength, confidence, healing, blessing, a joy unexplainable. We talk about blessed assurance we sang. It's a blessed assurance that Jesus is ours, even in the lion's den, even in the pit of fire, even in the inner prison like Paul and Silas beaten and bleeding to death. Even that place they were praising God, you know, they were exalting God. They didn't have no reason. They were broken and beaten and badly bleeding to the point of death. They were praising and thanking God. They were saying, how good and how wonderful is our Lord. I don't know what songs they were singing. They were singing some songs and they were praising God and they were praying, because that is the blessed assurance. Amen. And that changes everything. My friend said, this church is a beautiful church. I will close with the story of a Muslim woman. There's a guy, you know, a modern day Damascus Road experience. I'll close with this. Is reported in an article by Fred Market in the current issue of Pray magazine. Fred Markert. Fred is the international director of YWAM. How many of you know YWAM? Youth with a Mission. How many of you know YWAM, right? International director of YWAM, Strategic Frontiers, a group that focuses on witnessing for Christ among mostly Muslim nations, where it is not easily always easy for Christians to go in the Muslim nations, right? Fred is living in Afghanistan. Probably they changed the name. Fred is changed because they will not reveal the name. Fred is living in Afghanistan, and he relates the story about a Muslim woman, a university professor in Afghanistan, attending an English class taught by YWAM volunteers. Listen as she later tells a story to one of them. She says, I start to go to sleep and suddenly my bedroom filled with light. At the front of my bed stood Jesus, and I knew he had come to kill me. Because that's how they think. Jesus is the enemy. He comes. You see, the day before, she had stormed out of the English class after the teacher had begun to answer questions and to speak about Jesus to his students. As she stormed out, she cursed the teacher. I cursed you all the way home, she told him. I went home and I lay in bed and I was praying. Allah, I want you to kill those people because they're not English teachers. Because they're missionaries. I want them out of my country. Kill them. It was then that she saw the vision of Jesus standing in front of her bed. I knew he had come to kill me because I was asking Allah to kill his workers. because they understand the only the concept and the idea of killing. Killing, 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 right? So I got out of bed on my hands and knees. I was trembling and I crawled to the feet of Jesus, waiting for him to slay me. But he took that child, that person, embraced and showed his light of love to that person. The next day she was in tears and she was telling, hallelujah. This is so powerful, right? This is so powerful. This is so powerful. I've heard so many stories about this. When you tell about Jesus, when you say boldly, you know, you might not appeal to everybody, but somebody's heart will be touched. Because this professor was telling about Jesus in this classroom, and this student did not like it. So she went home crying, and she said, Allah, kill this guy. But Jesus stood. When you preach the gospel, when you share about your life story, when you talk about Jesus to somebody, life changes. The cross is so powerful. The word of the cross, the message of the cross is so powerful. It just changed people's lives. Yeah, and you share sincerely. You don't have to impress them. You don't have to tell them something amazing, amazing stories. Just tell them from your heart what Jesus does to you, did to you, and how God transforms you. Just tell them. And see how in that sincerity of the moment, in the sincerity of your heart, in this conviction that the gospel is the greatest message, look how God touches them. Look how God touches them. You might not see them again in your life. You might see them. You might not see them. They might give you their phone number for follow-up. But the word touches them, and you don't know what changes them. Amen? Hallelujah. And that's what the message of the cross is: foolishness. Jews look for miraculous signs. Greeks look for wisdom. But we preach the living Christ. Christ crucified, the living God. So, beautiful church. This is Zion Alliance, right? Yep. Zion Alliance Church. I pray today that God will use you mightily. That you will become such ambassadors, such agents for the gospel. That in this world, in this Richmondville, wherever you live, wherever you go, wherever you work or stay or live, God will use such a powerful way that the light of the cross will shine through you. The gospel message will go forth from your lips, from your heart, from your words, actions, thoughts. That many around you will change and they will see the light of the gospel of Jesus, because that will change them. Amen. No technology can give. Technology, everything will give temporary comfort, some comfort. Some cars, some houses, some buildings, some airplanes, some places. But the true comfort comes from Jesus. True comfort comes from knowing that message of the Lord Jesus, the healing power. God will make impossible things possible. I pray that each of you will become ambassadors, change agents, evangelists through your life and testimony. And many will come to know you through Jesus through your life. Amen. It is the power of cross in your life. Let's all stand together. Let's all pray together and surrender our heart. The Bible says the word of God asks for a commitment. As we come in the presence of God today, the Lord is speaking to us. Yes, what a beautiful word. The message of cross is foolishness to those who are perishing, but the power of God to those who have been saved. This message of cross is so powerful. The seed of the gospel is so powerful. The Lord Jesus is so wonderful. Holy Spirit is speaking to us at this time. If you're going through some tough time or hard time or trying time or anxious moments, the Lord is touching you. The Lord is healing you, renewing you, reviving you, because this is the word of Christ is healing. The power of the Holy Spirit will change your hearts forever. Because the work of the Holy Spirit is to fully reveal Jesus to us, not partially. Fully reveal Jesus to us. His love, His grace, His mercy, His compassion, His salvation, His amazing mercies. They're new. The Bible says in Lamentations 3:23, the steadfast love of the Lord never ceases. His mercies never come to an end. They're new every morning, new every morning. Great is your faithfulness. So today, the Lord's faithfulness is amazing in our life. I wanted to pray for yourself and say, Lord, touch my heart. Heal me, Lord. Strengthen me, Lord. Fill my heart with your joy, Lord, and make me a change agent in other people's lives. Make me an evangelist. Make me a mouthpiece of your gospel, Lord. Make me a mouthpiece of this amazing message, O Lord, that will transform the world, O Lord, that will change everything in this world, and healing and favor and salvation will come into this world, into a world filled with war, violence, bloodshed, famine, hunger, brokenness, divisions. Lord, the gospel brings healing. The gospel of Jesus brings healing, unity, strength, renewal. So, Father, at this time, as we heard the word, Lord, your message, O Lord Jesus of the cross, is power, is wisdom, Lord. It's beyond the wisdom, beyond the power as we know in this world, O Lord. It is not the power wisdom as we know as the world defines it. It is beyond our wildest imagination. Father's power and wisdom of the cross will transform the world, is transforming the world, will always transform the world, O Lord. Lives changed, O God. Marriages healed, families saved, young people surrendering their life to you, Lord. And the world becoming a best, beautiful place in your presence, Holy Spirit, Lord Jesus. Mighty God, may you use us all to become those salt and light, those mouthpieces, those ambassadors for your glory, Lord. Give us the wisdom as you give Paul the wisdom on the Mars Hill as he preached about the unknown God, as many were amazed and many wanted to hear and many got saved, Lord. May many come to know you, Lord Jesus. You said, go into the world and proclaim the gospel, making disciples of all nations and baptizing them in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. Lord, today I declare, and we all declare for our churches and for Zion Alliance Church especially, that you use each member, O Lord, to go forth into the world to proclaim the good news and bring many to be disciples, Lord, and Lord, to baptize in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. Lord, I surrender them to you, Lord. Bless them abundantly. Use them powerfully, Lord. Thank you, Lord, that this church is growing so beautifully. You're bringing wonderful people. Anoint them. Grant wisdom to the leaders, O Lord. Especially I pray for Pastor Noam Koulibaly's family, Lord. Grant him with wisdom, knowledge, understanding, along with the group of leaders and elders you give him to, Lord, to build your kingdom, Holy Spirit. If you place them in this place, O God, you're building your kingdom in this place, Lord. You're building your kingdom and righteousness, Lord. Lead them, O Lord, to establish, Holy Spirit, in this place, in any place they go, Lord. May you use them as the salt and light, as a living sacrifice and a pleasing aroma unto you, Lord. I surrender them to you. Thank you. Bless this church. Bless every member in every way, physical, mental, emotional, relational, financial, in every way, Lord. Bless them abundantly. Lead them and guide them. I surrender them to you. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Amen.